Welcome to The Lois Effect on Universal Energy Radio. My name is Elisa.
My name, is Liz. Hey.
Hey.
How's it going? How's your house for unwed mothers?
Don't judge. Don't judge.
Honey, I'm an unwed mother. Excuse me. Hello. Thank goodness.
No, you're a previously wed mother.
Right.
Anna and Amy got home late last night, and Anna immediately was like, "Oh my God, I got to see the kittens! I got to see the cat!"
So
it's good. I think Emerson is happy that everyone's back in the house. And of course, Anna's smitten with the kittens, and is spending time exactly the way I was over the weekend, like just
right.
Gazing at them. I just can't.
How cute!
Can't
so cute,
you know?
I can imagine. You sent me a picture. Oh, adorable. I mean, their eyes are still closed.
Mm-hmm.
They're closed. I don't know about raising.
It'll be
giving.
It'll
know,
be a.
How
it'll
long?
Be a couple more days. It'll be. It'll probably. I mean, this is like day six, so. Soon they'll start opening their eyes, but you know, their ears are still tucked in, so they're still closed off. Like they have no idea what's happening. They just on instinct they know they've got to get food, and mom is helping them with everything else. So even Emmy is like, she's taking breaks the last day or so. She's been more than happy to kind of leave them piled up along amongst each other while they, you know, they nap, and she'll go take care of her own stuff. She'll step away for a little bit. She'll come down and visit. I'm not feeding her in the room now. She's back at her old place, you know, in the kitchen for her to get food.
Mm-hmm.
So she's very independent. She looks good. She looks, you know, very, very, very healthy mother. She's just so good. And and I realize, you know, so many people want to have a kitten. And I'm like, I don't want any of them to go, you know, but I know. And it's like I said, have you picked out which one we're going to keep? I'm like, no, because I want to keep all of them, but I can't. I know I can't. I guess we could. We could be the crazy cat ladies. But I've just been looking at them like, I don't know which one to pick. I mean, I know that Anna's kids want at least one. Maybe two, and honestly, it may be smart for them to have two. We'll see.
I think that would be nice to keep it in the family.
Yeah, but they already have cats. So
they do?
So that, so I know they're going to get at least one, but I think with since there are four of them, two of them can kind of play together and grow up together, and you know, they're so adorable when they after they feed, like they all just kind of pass out, and then they'll crop of each other and fall asleep.
Oh, that's so cute. Oh my God.
I just can't imagine not having them now. They're in the house. I want to see them. You know, you'll be able to hang out with them. They'll be with us for at least, you know, another month or so.
I'll be there in about a month, I think.
I mean, they'll be hanging out. So, it's just, it's dangerous because it's easy for me to get so attached, and
especially when they're just little and cute.
Yeah, they're all super cute, but you know, then they'll eventually open their eyes, and even more of their personality will come out. And
Lose your mind. Yeah, you're gonna lose your mind when you start, like, you know, communicating with them telepathically, doing their numerology, but you know, painting their claws, you know, as one does. But, you know, I have a feeling that the one that's going to stay with you guys, it's going to pick you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah. Yeah. They'll pick you.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll see what happens. But, it's great to have a nice full house, which is great. And new life energy, perfect timing. It's spring. I would imagine that the weather is is more spring-like, or getting there.
Oh yeah, it's been beautiful, but there's just a lot of pollen in the air. So you know, that's the other catch is that Atlanta just tends to get all kinds of pollen happening, blooming. Everything is in bloom. So, but it's been it's been warm during the day. Very warm during the day.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you're gonna love it. Atlanta in the springtime.
Oh, I'm gonna lose my damn mind.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think I've been. I don't remember.
You've been like when it's super cold out, and you've been when it's.
Oh yes.
Well, you've been because I know you showed up for a graduation of some sort. So. Or graduation party.
Like,
so.
Yeah, that's true. I think that might have been the. I don't remember because I've only. I think I've only visited two or three times. I know I went, and then I went with my son. I went with Cole.
Mm-hmm. That was during winter time.
It was winter time. And I think that was the last time I was there, right?
Mm-hmm. But then there's a long time ago. The one time you went, we took you to like a graduation party with our family. So you got to meet.
That I remember. Yeah. Right.
So that had to have been at least. You know, late May, early June.
Right. Yeah, I think that was the first visit. I think because I went by myself, I think the first visit.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, the first visit, Anna and Stephanie were still together. That's how long ago that was.
Yeah.
That's a long-ass time. But listen, I didn't say anything, but I'm like, But I knew the first time they went to New York and Lily was, like, not even 1 year old. And I just knew it. I'm like, this is not going to end well. I didn't say anything. I said stuff. I might have said something to you, but much, much later. But that's when I just intuitively, of course, not my story to tell, not my place to say.
Sure.
No. But and then I went for around that time. Yeah, and it's the first time I'm staying in someone's house because both times I stayed in hotels. So this is going to be, it's going to be fun. I'm looking forward to it. But I remember the house, you know. But I know it's going to feel like I'm going to a totally brand new house. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I think I've only been to Atlanta twice. I think this is my third time. I think this is my third time.
Yeah, that's
so
probably about right.
Long. Yeah. Long over. I'm looking forward and I'm looking forward to reconnecting with a few people to say hello to Lolita and see how much her business has grown. I could see it on Instagram and also to spend time with Reverend Adam and he had been a huge influence. He really was like remotely Cole's therapist for several years.
Right.
And So Cole's really happy that I'm going to be seeing Adam. And and then who knows, in the next year, I would love to come back with the kids to maybe check out Tybee Island, but I'll talk to Anna about that to see if that's feasible in the horizon whenever. I think my kids would love that, and I know it would just be great for all of us to sort of, you know, be a family again, you know? Yeah, I saw that it was really cute. I think Anna had texted to me. Her and her sister were hustling. And they're not working the corner, meaning disco dancing. We call it hustling. They were not trying to make it, you know. They were hustling, you know, on the corner. And it was so great because I don't her sister, but in the post, or I heard, she doesn't have vertigo because she has vertigo. But it's really interesting, you know, when she's dancing, it disappears.
Yeah.
You know? And, yeah, and it's really interesting, too. Like, I have actually, my friend Lou, who you met, he was just in this amazing off-Broadway show that was just, you would have loved it. Just so much fun and surreal, but hyper real as well, and it was just a bunch of brown and non-binary people doing their thing, and you know, it was just great. And he has all of these issues with mobility and this and that, and but when he's on that stage, it disappears. The second after he takes that curtain call, it comes back. Like, it's crazy. Like, if he has a day where there's a matinee and an evening performance, he, as soon as that first show is over, he lays down. They have, like, a cot backstage for him. And then he does the show the second time, doesn't feel it until after the curtain call. And it's a physical show.
Wow.
Really, yeah, really, really incredible. Yeah. It's amazing when you just tap into that consciousness, you know, of what you love to do, and all of a sudden all that other stuff is just suspended, and then it goes back. It's really interesting. So, but I love seeing, like, the two of them dancing. I'm like, I'm going to be dancing with you, girl. Hold up. You better get ready. Hello. She's so much fun to dance with. But I love seeing her and her sister, and it was great. You would never know that her sister had, you know, depth perception issues, vertigo, whatever you want to call it. Crazy. It's weird.
Yeah. She has always loved dancing. Always. So I wouldn't be surprised if we all went out. Well, maybe I'll take you guys out dancing. I don't really want to go dancing, but I would go for you.
Oh, you would go for me.
I mean, I'm not saying I would dance. But,
no,
yeah.
Give me the side eye from the side. Like, oh, there she goes with the side eye. All right.
I'll be like, oh,
okay.
Drink.
No, what's going to happen is, let me tell you what's going to happen, listeners. Okay? This is going to happen.
Oh, Lord.
Every time we see each other. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Every time we see each other in person, it's so funny. We are like an old married couple. I think because we're so connected by doing this, you know, miserable excuse of a podcast for, you know, almost 13 years, we're just very wired. We're just very, very in sync. So it's not like, oh, I'm so excited to see you. Yeah. I mean, we're going to get that for maybe about 3 seconds, and then we're just going to go right into it. It's going to be very comfortable, very cozy. You know, I'll say something, she'll roll her eyes, or she'll just look at me with the side eye, and then I'll look at her with the side eye, and then we'll just move on with our business. So, am I there? I don't know. I don't even know my dates exactly. But if I'm there on a show day, then that would be fun to do a show live from Atlanta, from headquarters.
I think you might have done it where, I don't even know. I have it on my calendar. Let's
yeah, I don't
see.
Even know. I don't even think. I think.
I think maybe
know.
Do a
I
show
think,
the morning of. Because
the
I also
that
don't
I go.
Know. I don't know when your flights are. So.
I think it's the 12th. I think it's the 12th through the 16th.
Yeah, I just don't know the timing.
Oh, you mean the time? Oh,
yeah.
The time. Yeah, I don't even know. I think we'll probably do the show before I get on the plane. That's really funny. Get ready, bitches. Yeah. And what's so great. Okay, so when I went to Sarasota, that was like, you need to just stop your life for a second. Because I hadn't stopped anything while all that was happening with my mom. And thank God the timing for spring break for colleges allowed me to just take those 4 days, see my lovely friend. Might be the last time I see her. She's turning 93 May 12th. Oh, that's fine.
Oh.
Today I'm coming to see you.
Yeah,
she's turning 93. So that was so important. And just to hold space and be with her, and then I had a lot of time on my own and just to be still. I lived in her backyard, so you know what I'm going to be doing. I lived in her backyard, and I mean, priceless for those people that, you know, that have this. A lot of people just, you know, take it for granted, but to be able to sit outside with a cup of coffee, you know, and you can still be in your pajamas. Huge. Mm-hmm. You don't even know. Huge. Huge. So I will be doing as much as I can outside. That's
nice.
Just on your back. Your gorgeous, nervous collapse. of everything that had transpired with my mother's really devastating decline and me not, you know, taking any time off from anything and just managing my crazy high schooler and household and everything else, only to come back to this whirlwind and of activity and a lot of work on top of work, which I'm very happy. I'm like a squirrel storing her nuts for, I'm going to laugh, that's funny. I'm sorry. You know, storing, getting ready for whatever they do. They get ready for the winter, whatever. I'm just squirrely. I'm just like, if somebody wants to throw money at me for what I have to say, I'm there. So I'm a little delirious because I've been working a couple 12-hour days. Like I did two Monday and Wednesday. I did yesterday and Monday. Yeah. Had a hot date on Tuesday. You know, she's keeping it busy. She's keeping it busy. So I'm really looking forward to really having a vacation. Sarasota wasn't a vacation. That was rehab. Mm. How to do it. That was rehab. This is going to feel like a vacation. And if I can incorporate some form of travel in my life, 2 or 3 months, a few days here, a few days there, that would be the equivalent of someone, you know, going away for 6 weeks, because I can't do that. I am also working through becoming detached where it comes to issues with my younger son. I mean, talk about a teacher. Talk about, not his teachers, but talk about, although I do talk to his teachers daily, not that I want to. And he's just not that switch, which to go off in his head. And the good news, and it takes a lot of concerted effort, the good news is that I am really beginning to slowly understand how much I need to depersonalize and detach. It's very hard as a mother, especially a mother with PTSD, but I'm doing better. But you're not going to believe that the number I'm going to give you. He's marked absent 38 days.
What?
This is what I'm dealing with.
Wow.
He just thinks he can, I'm losing my mind. He can come and he can go. You know, I'm working a 12-hour day yesterday. What did I do during my lunch break? Had a conversation with the assistant principal.
Mm.
And what I said to my son, handle it. I don't want to hear from the school. Am I hearing from the school? Yes, I am. Mm. And his response is, stop trying to control me. I'm like, okay. I have the whole cross-section of parenting, the whole thing between my two sons.
Wow.
Yeah, I have experienced, and I'm not saying it's negative or it's bad. I'm talking about the spectrum of experiences. And I have my friend, she might be listening. She calls in once in a while, Tara. She's out in L.A. She gets up early, so I know sometimes she listens to the show. And girl, if you're listening, you're not listening. I'm going to say this anyway because I love you. When she talks to me about her children, I'm in awe because she has they're adults now. But I marvel the perfect children. Her daughter works for the New York Times. Her sons are entrepreneurs. They're twins. They are so well educated. They are examples of young excellence. And I often speak to my son I think he kind of glorifies kind of like the hood life. Mm-hmm. I have a open door policy in my house. I even temporarily housed some when they were homeless. And I tell my son, that's beautiful, and they're your friends, and they're good people. But I need to remind you that there's a thing called Black excellence. We just need to tip the scales. Just let's have it a little more balanced. And the biggest trigger for me, which again, conscious effort to depersonalize, is to not be triggered by feeling disregarded. That's my biggest trigger of life. He's not even thinking about disregarding me. He's just being a punk ass, almost 17-year-old, normal, crazy, lunatic kid. That's my work, to not get triggered. And you have heard me on this show go down that rabbit hole.
Mm-hmm.
I'm dancing around it, but the difference is I know better than to not go down it. And I guess that this is the only way for me to get that lesson. I don't know. But I want that switch to go off in his head. Did I try wiping him twice before this show? I sure did. And I'm switching it up. I'm not going in like a drill sergeant. I tried this. I'm like, let's try this. I'm like, Holy Spirit, come on. I'm like calling on the Holy Spirit. So, I mean, that's where I'm at. Like, come on, Holy Spirit. And I gingerly open the door to his bedroom. I'm laughing to myself because I just, and the academy goes to me. Because I go in and I'm like, hey, like trying to be like, hey. So you're going to need to wake up, okay? Like, I'm trying everything because I want to go in with a baseball bat. I really want to go in with a baseball bat. I want to swing the baseball bat at his room that should be condemned by the health department. Mm-hmm. And I want to swing it to be like, could you just get your shit together already? I don't know how many different ways I have to tell you how this is so damaging for the two of us. So I change scripts. I change scripts. You need to talk. You need to speak to the assistant principal today. You're not in trouble, but you have to check it. The assistant principal said he's going to come to my. I didn't tell this to my son. He's very nice. He's like, I'll come to your house. I'm like, oh my god, please don't let it come to that. Please don't let it come to that. Please don't. So this punk ass kid, who can charm the pants off of anyone and should be an attorney, he was supposed to take the PSAT. Didn't show up for it. And I'm like, we're not going to throw money away in college, but you better find a way to make some money. Find a way. And there is a fair of sorts that is called Student Empowerment Opportunities, trade schools, jobs, whatever. I told my son's father to this, we have to figure something out. And what really kills me, one, he says I'm trying to control him. Not true. It's gaslighting. And saying things like, I didn't mind if I said this on a previous show. Well, you know, there's not enough food in the house. Are you freaking kidding me? There's always food in the house. I mean, I cooked their dinner yesterday at 8 o'clock in the morning. So sit down. The hell down. So yeah, I have at least shifted my perception to understand if this is in my field experience for my growth. But growth is really painful sometimes. But at least I'm not drinking the Kool-Aid. I'm refusing it. I am not going to blame myself. Does that trigger is. No, it's very unhealthy. It's dangerous. Mm. You've heard me. I've gone to that dark place, and at least I'm wise enough now to know the difference. But I'm a breath away from there. But yeah, so what's going to happen is I'll finish the show with you. I'll see that there's no evidence of him getting ready for school, that he went right back to sleep after the two times that I was like, hey, hey, I'm the understanding mom. Hey, yes, we can relate to each other. Bullshit. Hey, like, I mean, it was scripted. It was a scripted television drama, scripted. And he will be back to sleep, and then it starts all over again, and then it's going to be 9:30. He's supposed to be at school before 9 o'clock. Every day, that is such an energy leak, and I still have to do what I have to do.
Right.
So I have to dissociate from it, yeah. So I'm a little more ahead in my consciousness with it, just a little bit. But I got to turn that corner, and I need that switch. But it's incredible how so many members of my family, my mother, my father, my ex-husband, my two sons, biological, not biological, doesn't make a difference. Stubborn individuals. What happened to me? I didn't get on the stubborn train. You don't think I'm a stubborn person, right? Because I don't think I am. Am I?
Not.
Oh, why are you laughing? Oh, now she's starting. Okay, go ahead, wife.
No. You're not stubborn in the ways that definitely your son has been stubborn. You know, we're all stubborn. I mean, there are, and. Here's how I'm handling this, because if you really didn't want to know, you wouldn't have asked that question.
True.
Okay. And I know you're like, you have, people can be stubborn in different ways. So,
correct.
You know, and you have to think about why people get stubborn. And as a Taurus,
well, that's part of your tribe.
Pretty much all earth signs have a bit of stubbornness in them. And part of it, it's this need to like kind of keep things the way they are, because change is freaking scary. So for Tauruses, it's like the stuff that's around us. That's one way of keeping things kind of the same and comfortable and familiar is, you know, why would I part with that? Because, you know, it's important to me. And you know, I get this, especially having it being mirrored with my aunt, who's also a Taurus and has, you know, a lifetime of things in her house that we've had to sort through. And just the whole process of having to negotiate, you know, what's really important here? And do you want to carry all of this with you? These are questions that I've had to apply to myself. Do I want to carry all this with me? And I still have to face my fears of figuring out what's important and actually stating that. Of letting go and actually being able to do that, because knowing it is one thing, but doing it is another. So you can be stubborn in your actions. You can be stubborn in your ways of thinking. You can be stubborn in the way you talk about yourself. And the stubbornness is a way of just kind of keeping control of things, because sometimes that's the only thing that we know how to do is, well, if I can control this, then I won't lose my mind, which is a phrase you've said quite a few times in reference to your son.
Every
you know,
day,
or any situation,
yeah.
You know, I'm going to lose my mind. And I'm like, okay, we'll just, so let's not lose your mind. We have to rephrase that. And I would say this is also part of Lois coming in. This is part of the training that Lois is like, you know, yeah, words do matter.
That's
words
true.
Words do matter. So if you get kind of in this cycle of, well, this keeps happening, not to say that what you're saying is making it so, but it's probably not helping, you know, because then it's the same kind of environment that your mind is living in. Not that, and you know, we play this game too, where, you know, we fake it till you make it. And sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't, because if you're really not owning what you're feeling first, then anything you say to put over it is just, that's just one more layer you have to uncover later.
Yeah,
you've been burying it. So I wouldn't say you know, when I think of stubborn in the sense that you're talking about, like, say, with everybody else and the patterns that have been with you, around you, no, but there's enough of that same frequency to have it still show up in big ways with people that
right.
are close to you, that people with people that you love. And so
mm-hmm.
this, what's kind of flowing with this now, it's a good question for you to ask, but it's not a, it's not something that you want to use as more ammunition to just continue the same pattern. So where you think, or maybe you don't even see where you're being stubborn. That's going to be tender. It's probably not going to feel good in the moment, but if you are able to work through that and say, you know, there'll be an aha moment where you'll figure it out. Whatever it is, whatever that little pattern is, that's not quite a small pattern, but maybe a really big pattern. But then the process, like the things that you're doing to shake things up, just so you'll feel better, that's part of it. Like being able to travel, being able to get a change of scenery.
Yeah.
Just be aware of, you know, when you've been saying some of the same things, even though you're in a different environment, whether that environment's
mm-hmm.
come to you or you've gone to that environment. You know, are you still
right.
looking at it in the same lens, and
right.
then therefore are you just saying, oh well, as opposed to this, you know, even in contrast, you can still kind of create the same thing because it's familiar.
I
mean,
see
that's
what you're saying.
So
yeah.
so the stubbornness
yep.
can be in, well, you're not expecting it because you're trying it, but you're not expecting something to be different, and part of it's because it goes back to control. And sometimes that space, as you are that thing in your son's environment that could change to allow the space for him to figure it out on his own, to maybe make his own mistakes that he can own instead of that he gets into his pattern of, well, you know, let's throw out other things that have nothing to do with the situation, but I know it'll trigger my mom, so let's just do it, you know. Because I get the same response,
right.
and then that's sort of normal. Even though, you know, it's not even about what's comfortable or uncomfortable. There are things that are just always the same, and until something comes along, it shows itself to be so true, so undeniable, whether it feels so bad or so good, depending on what it is. Then, like he's going to make those decisions, and the same thing for you. So, you know, like, I get that, you know, you're going to want things to be a certain way for your family, for your kids, because, you know, and you're mama, you know, like, I'm looking at my cat, mama cat, and she's doing her thing. It's just instinct for her. That's just what you do.
Right. Right.
But even
right.
she's like, you know, I could use some space, and she'll step away. In the last day and a half, she stepped away, done her own thing. They're fine.
Yeah.
And who's the one freaking out? I'm the one freaking out. I'm going over there. I'm checking in on them. And I'm realizing, because
right.
she's looking at me like, you're a fool. Like, you didn't need to do anything. You could have gone out. You could have done stuff. She's like, I got this.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is fine. So, you know, we
right.
when we get into our roles that we're used to, we do that. We play those things out until we realize that it takes that moment or moments of self-reflection, those moments of
right.
pause, when we say, you know, let me change it. Not so much. And then this is even something that needs to change. We're like, let me change it. So he'll know how it feels, or, you know, it's sort of like just to kind of get back to even things out when sometimes the intention behind it, ultimately, and we talk about the name of the show, it has to be because we love ourselves enough
right,
to
right.
take care of ourselves first, even if it means,
right. Right.
You know, like, you know, they're going to stumble and fall, and we can't maintain that level of,
no.
of let me craft my world around this. So he will always land on his feet. He will
yeah.
always be okay. And he doesn't,
yeah.
and he doesn't know what it feels like. I mean, and not to say he hasn't gone through some stuff, he has, but it hasn't sunk in yet
yeah.
that
no.
he has made decisions that has led to that, and you've done your best.
Yeah.
You've done your best to make sure
oh, yeah.
that he thinks differently, that he acts differently, that he realizes he's, you know, he's by virtue of who he is and the color of his skin, it's not always safe. He's
yeah.
not always going to get the benefit
nope.
of the doubt. And and so you're trying to protect him, and yet, you know, there are the places where he can hopefully, you think, show up and at least get something out of it. School. Yeah, like, no, it's not. And
only
and part of it's because
see,
part of it's like, well, that's the law. And also because you don't know what he's doing, but he's doing it anyway. So,
oh my God.
Yeah. So the stubbornness, part of it is as we're growing up, we look back at our lives like, yeah, you know, there are plenty of things I didn't tell my parents, I'm fine. You know, like we took that risk. And I feel he's feeling that out too. It is a big risk though.
Yeah.
When you're on the other side of it and you're like, yeah, but that's a stupid risk. You know, they don't know that yet. They don't get that yet.
Yeah. Just go to school. Just go to school. Like, do what you're going to do. As long as you can handle your business and go to school, just go to school. That's
right.
It. They don't have chores. You know,
right.
Just go to, you have no chores. Just go to school.
So, I mean, but you know, but then you can't, you also can't just all of a sudden recreate a different or create a different environment where you're harder on them. Well, you can try. But
no,
I've
tried it. It's all backfired.
Yeah,
there are
dynamics. Yeah. There are dynamics that will push it in a particular way. So the phrase I'm going is go with the flow, and realizing that some of the repercussions, to the degree that you feel like, oh, I gotta handle this. Like you've said, you told him you're gonna have to handle this.
I say it every day, right? But they still, you know, but I'm still the custodial parent. I'm still the one that gets the calls and the texts and the emails.
Of course.
I'm like, you handle your stuff. And I backed off. I mean, I have backed off like 80%. I have so backed the F off because you're right. It has made no difference, but it has to my sanity. So.
Right. Right.
Nothing I can do really.
There are like really deep family dynamics that are at play. So part of it is, and I'm just sort of winging this here as it's coming through, but you're looking at, especially in the last year, the stuff that's happened with your family, or even 2 years or 4 years that's happened with your family, immediate
and
extended.
Yeah, I would say good 5 years. 5 years, yeah, from the marriage falling apart to my mother dying, like 5 years.
Yeah, yeah. These are things that are sort of like the continuation of things kind of coming up. And oh gosh, I'm sort of feeling that when you get here, if we can line it up, along with other people that you need to see, maybe we do a reunion session with Donna.
That would be hot.
Yeah. And again, it's not to fix your son, but to help with the dynamics for you, because there's definitely some patterns here of the word is rebellion.
That's appropriate.
We talked about how, you know, how in the contrast of things, we learn the most about ourselves. So, you know, the situation that your son is in, since he was born, you know, of being in this contrast of not everything's going to be the way a picture perfect Hallmark card here's how that goes. It's like that's not how that's happening. He's learning some things. He may not be choosing and making decisions that are reflective of that, but that's part of that process. And yeah, I mean, you know, you're also talking to someone here who's total nerd. So I'm like, oh, well, of course you have to go to school. You know, that's me. But
That's me too. You know, like I think it's so important to be educated.
Mm-hmm.
It's so important to be well spoken.
Well, and the thing is, he has a lot of that. It's just, you know,
he does already, and
sure.
You all recognize it. The school does. You do. Yeah, he has all of that. It's just what he's choosing right now. I'm not even. I mean, forget college, but like graduate high school for God's sake, bare minimum. Show up. You can't leave the house and just show up.
Yeah. yeah. So he, I mean, he is on his path, such that it is for right now. His path changed a lot. And as are you, still continuing on your path. So,
oh, yeah. Absolutely.
I think the choices you've been making in terms of taking care of you and your mental health, your physical health, those are like your hallmarks. Like that's what's happening for you. And maybe on another level, a deeper level for him, that's what he is going to start realizing, is that it isn't about, haha, I get to do whatever I want to do. Even though it seems like it at the time, maybe that's why it's still not enough. I'm still not able to, whatever plays out, teenagers, you know, the angst, whatever. You know, I'm in my 50s, and I'm like, I still want to do whatever I want to do. And, we still have to get around.
Yeah, but you still went to school. I went to school. Like, just go to school.
Sure.
Just go to school.
Sure.
Show up.
No, but even that means following somebody else's rules.
Exactly. And that's him. Right.
Yeah.
And I'm like, all right, unless you're Huff, you can just go to the grotto and do whatever. Like,
yeah.
In your little robe. Like, excuse me.
Yeah. So it's the emotional and logical connection that hasn't played out yet. Like it hasn't clicked with him yet.
It hasn't clicked. Yeah.
Not that it doesn't affect him, because I know it does, but in terms of how to express that and make different decisions, it hasn't quite clicked yet.
No, just click it's not like there's no impact on the impact that it's made, and the collateral damage, there's no impact. He's choosing not to see it. I hope I live long enough to see that switch. I may not. We'll see. Mother's Day? I'm not even thinking about it.
Well, tell you what, because even that energy, let's just, you know, let Mother's Day, because it'll be, I think, right before you leave.
It's right before I leave, yeah. I'm taking myself out. I'm going to
probably go see
a Broadway show. Like, I'm not making plans with anybody.
Let it truly be for you. Let it truly be a Mother's Day. Like, I'm a mom. I'm going to go out and do what I want to do. So, yeah, that that's cool. You know,
exactly.
I want to switch over here, because I know we have our usual suspects in the chat.
Yes,
and let's see here. Raven said, could I get a message for Saturday?
Sure.
Yes. Courtney's birthday.
Oh, speaking of mothers.
Yeah. So.
Okay. Let me pull that up. Yeah. I mean, thank you so much. That was actually very helpful to just shift the energy with this. It's a burden. Now it just feels like a burden. And I'm just tired of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Anyway, enough of that.
Yeah.
All right. So I am ready. But thank you, Lisa. That was helpful.
Of course.
And hopefully it was helpful to, if it helped one listener, then we did our job. Okay. I am ready when you guys are.
All right. Here we go.
Okay, so the number associated with this message is 531. And here is the message. Disassociate from anything you're not wanting in this present moment. soar into the spirit of your freedom. That's beautiful.
Mm.
I'm going to take that to heart as well. Disassociate from anything you're not wanting in this present moment. Soar into the spirit of your freedom. 5, 3, 1.
Yeah, I like that it ends up being a 9 overall. But, you know, it starts off with a 5, which is about change and experience. And so this is the stuff of life. This is like all the stuff that you were expecting and even not, definitely not expecting. The 5 is in there. And then the 3 is a central number, is about how you process this energy and how you, you know, how are you expressing it? Even looking at how it's written out, 5, 3, 1, it goes from a larger number to a slightly smaller number to a small number. So it's like pinpointing. It's like, okay, here we go. It's down. Now we're down to the 1, which is how, so how does all this affect you? How does it affect you, but also how does it express through you as a result? Because it's not like it ends. It just goes back out, right? It still has a direction. It's like this is all funneled down to the individual. So from the experiences to the expression to then the individual itself, you know, exactly what we were talking about earlier, where we live and learn through these contrasts, but those contrasts still make an impression, and so you work with what's left of that, like whatever you've taken in. And you let go of whatever has to fall away, because you can't carry it all with you. But what's left is, it's a word you have to use, a refinement of who you are. So all the sharp edges get smoothed out. And sometimes the smoothing is like because you've been up against something like a lot of friction, you know, like butting heads. Sometimes it ends up being that way. Sometimes it's just some water that flows through and it takes a little bit of time. So sometimes with the emotions, it smooths that out. So the way we become shaped, there have been many different ways, different elements involved. So I love how it goes with this message of like, well, what can you let go of? And gosh, they're just even showing me the 5, 3, 1. They keep showing me bigger to smaller. So you start with something with a lot, and then you end up with what's left. And instead of it being like not what's left behind, it's like, no, this is what has been encapsulated. This is what has stuck, you know, to make it what it is. Raven said, Courtney said, it's for all of us, like this message, release the reins that we want to hold on to.
Oh, I totally felt that. The second I read the message, I'm like, okay,
mm-hmm.
Everybody needs to hear this.
Because
at the end of the day, it really is to shift the consciousness into the infinite space of freedom.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yes. So thank you, Courtney.
And, you know, yes. And that number 9, you know, we talk about 9 being about really major transformation, and that's why, because
yeah.
you don't transform without understanding your form to begin with.
Right.
So you know, trans meaning change, and form being the form that you're in. So if we talk about going from a 5 to a 3 to a 1, it's a level of transformation. One is about a new beginning, right? But that level of transformation has to happen with a lot of what you have to pick and choose, which is basically what a 9, like maybe a 9 year is about. It's about understanding the bigger picture and realizing you don't have to carry all the stuff with you, because it's all going to be there at some point, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But you're only responsible for the stuff that you want to carry with you into the next iteration of the next adventure.
Right.
But yeah, this is it's high level stuff when we look at it from that perspective. When we're in the middle of it, we don't necessarily appreciate or can even see that. but it's happening,
right.
whether we're aware of it or not, it's happening. So whether your son is aware of it or not, he's
right.
it's happening to him too.
Right.
But like I said earlier, when all that clicks, you know, that's when like that $1 million, you know, best-selling idea happens, or you write a book,
right.
and it's, you know,
right.
that's when all that
right.
stuff, when it, oh, it clicks. And it doesn't even
that
have to be
switch.
That
yep.
that level of an impact necessarily, but it could. The potential is there, because the potential
right.
is there to
right.
help and teach others in a way that that was bigger than what you had gone through. So you take
right.
all the lessons that you've gone through, and because
mm-hmm.
it's now, you're not in the middle of it, you can organize it, you can look at it, you can appreciate it, you can arrange it in a way, you can tell your story
mm-hmm.
in a way that's not going to scare people half to death, but they
right.
can get
right.
they can get the gist of what's happened and find hope that they will find the right combination. They will find their aha moments that get
right.
them to the next level. So it's not
right.
necessarily that you have to write down the formula, although that's what some of it is. It's like, it's a reminder for you. It could be this way, but it means that there are ways to achieve that. There are ways to either achieve or resolve or to get through. And it may not be
mm-hmm.
the same for every person. It won't be the same for every person, but like everything else, we take in and we figure out, oh, you know, that makes sense to me. This part doesn't, but you know, like the alien part may not make sense to some people, but the you know, the candle lighting does, or just, you know, other aspects, like stuff that we talk about on this show.
Oh yeah,
it's gonna make sense, and the numbers may not make sense. You know, like you running the numbers, don't know what that means yet, but you will. Or
right.
you know, for me, like picking up on the energy, it won't have to be this trial and tribulation or you know, the second guessing. It'll just be like, oh, that's what it is, and you go with it. We all
right.
are learning.
Right. Right.
And we're all
right.
honing our own skills. Your son is still learning,
right.
even if it looks like he's floundering or he's just making poor decisions or just
no,
only making
true.
Poor decisions. He's learning.
Right.
And yeah, mm-hmm. you know, we look at our life in like in a you know, an hourglass, like, well, there's only so much time left. And we tend to
mm-hmm.
think of our lives in that way. And yet, you know, even that is a choice to look at minutes ticking by or years passing. And
mm-hmm.
yeah, that is a perspective and part of the big picture. And yet, how many people do the daily grind for years until they realize, you know, I didn't really enjoy, you know, a tenth of that, any of it, really.
Right.
And
right.
I wish I had, insert regret there, I wish I had done this. So,
right.
you know, maybe your son is in that cutting edge where he's breaking the mold and it's really messy, but he's figuring out, hopefully, how he wants to spend his time, how he wants to be part of society and whatever society that is. And
right.
because it doesn't make sense to him to do some of the things, and he doesn't, but he also doesn't understand the responsible
mm-hmm.
emotional, you know, aspect of it yet. So, you know, I give him hope because I've met him and he's
amazing.
He is
yeah.
amazing.
Magical.
It's just,
yeah.
It's just, yeah. It's just, you know, put him in a particular formula and it doesn't quite work out. It doesn't fit.
Right.
So
right.
he has to figure out how he's going to be. And part of it is making these decisions. Maybe part of it is learning how to play a game for another year and a half or so. Until he can, you know, then legally make his own decisions and, you know, and strike out on his own, however that, whatever that means.
Yeah.
So you taking care of you is,
I have to,
is,
yeah.
is the thing.
Yes, I would agree. It took me a very long roundabout, you know, detour. Yeah. Course correcting to come to that conclusion. Yeah, so that's why I talk about the travel, because that's the only way I can really take care of myself is if I'm not around, you know, my home environment,
mm-hmm.
because, you know, they all come first. So, but we'll figure it out. But that was extremely, extremely helpful. And I hope that message was very generous of Courtney, because I think it really does apply to everybody. So,
definitely.
Thank you for that. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, there's a lot to unpack and a lot to uncover. But as whatever the situation is, like I'm using my situation, but really it's an example of whenever you could just switch up the narrative and do the pattern interrupt. And I had to make that conscious decision to interrupt the pattern of the heaviness. And even though I was acting as if this is really light, you know, and that this is just what it is, and not taking it on, that's just a lot healthier than the dread or the anxiety or the anger or the resentment, because I'm not really feeling any of those things. I'm feeling the fatigue and the exhaustion.
Right.
You know, the sadness makes me sad, but I'd rather feel those things. You know, we talk about the vibrational scale. That at least is going up the scale as opposed to, you know, the anger, the suicidal ideation, the rabbit hole. I mean, that's a breath away. So at least, you know, it's a path. It's a path. And it's so, you know, that mother-child connection is so symbiotic. And then we're dealing with transracial adoption and those issues that affect him, especially, particularly. But, I mean, I don't know how much of a supportive, conducive oasis that I can create for my kid. Like, they're never going to leave, because I think I set it up too good for them. They're never going to leave. They're going to find, like season 3 of Hoarders, they're going to find my body, like, I guess I'll be fed. Oh, yeah, Mom, what happened to her? Oh, I thought she went to the store. She never came back. You know, 30 years later. Watch. Oh, yeah. We'll see what happens. Yeah, they're, it doesn't look like they're going any place anytime soon. Oh, yeah.
Oh,
we'll see what happens. Yeah, and it's a little frustrating, too, because their father's situation, no one can spend the night.
Right.
Yeah. So, and I think that's the whole thing, too. Like, it would have been great. Oh, taken for the summer, I would have a totally different POV. It's because I have no real break. You know, going away for 2 or 3 days, that just keeps me from, you know, it keeps me healthy. But it really doesn't. It really isn't a break. It really isn't. Live with your dad for a summer. Not an option. You know, and then emails from their father, because he takes everything at face value, which makes me a little crazy, because he doesn't see that, you know, that our son is really running game on their dad. So I have to absorb that too. But, you know, would I change anything? Probably not, because obviously there's a reason for all of this.
Right.
But at least it's a little better today than it was, you know, yesterday, in terms of not buying fully into, I'm buying into it a little bit, but not fully. But this is why I love doing this podcast and having the space, so we have an open forum to just put it in a very pure, non-judgmental consciousness, and that's where things can shift. So I thank you. I thank our listeners. That's the joy. That's why we're still doing this. And it really is very helpful. So on that note, if you all need to get a hold of us, you can send an email to loablends@gmail.com. And we'll be back on the air this coming Tuesday at 8:30 a.m. United States Eastern Time. Take care of yourselves and each other. And as always, do the work and to brighter days ahead. Thank you so much. And have a great day. Love you guys. Bye.
Love you.
Bye.
me that you like.